Welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Absolutely. Always excited to explore new wisdom.
Well, today we're diving into the Guru Gita.
A classic.
Yeah, it's a sacred hymn, you know.
Right?
It's nestled right within Hinduism's Skanda Purana.
Okay.
And as always, we're not just going to like summarize it, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to pull out those really intriguing parts,
the
applicable stuff, you know. Give the listener almost like a cheat sheet.
A cheat sheet to the Guru Gita. I like that.
To understanding this revered text.
Yeah. It's interesting because even though it's a really revered ancient text,
right,
it's not like a dry philosophical thing, you
yes.
know? It's full of poetic imagery and metaphors
right.
that actually make it pretty relatable even today.
Before we even get into the text itself,
sure.
could you maybe paint a picture for our listener
yeah.
of what a guru represents in the Hindu tradition?
Yeah.
Because it feels like something that's often oversimplified in the West.
For sure. And you're right. It's not just a teacher.
Right.
Yeah. The Guru Gita really elevates the guru to this role of a spiritual guide.
Yeah.
A beacon. Someone who literally helps you navigate the path to enlightenment.
Okay.
And even the word guru itself, it gives you a clue to this deeper role.
Mm-hmm.
It literally means dispeller of darkness.
Oh, wow. Okay, so
yeah.
Gu meaning darkness.
Gu darkness.
And Ru meaning remover.
Remover, exactly.
Oh, that's powerful.
Yeah.
So it's like they help us see through our own illusions.
Exactly, yeah. It's like moving beyond those shadows of ignorance toward the light of truth.
Well, I like that.
And even the Guru Gita's origin story, it adds another layer to this.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Oh, Lord Shiva, right?
Yes.
What's the significance of that connection to the divine?
So the story goes that Parvati, Shiva's consort,
okay.
asks him about the importance of the guru and the path to liberation.
Hmm.
And Shiva, in response, reveals the verses of the Guru Gita.
Oh, wow.
So it's like this divine conversation that elevates the text to a level of, you know, sacred knowledge.
Yeah.
It's like a direct transmission of wisdom from the divine source.
Wow. So it's not just wise teachings. It's like a divine revelation.
Exactly.
That's pretty powerful.
It is. And no wonder it's so revered, especially in certain branches of Hinduism, right?
Absolutely. And I know it's highly regarded in the Bhakti and Vedantic traditions, right?
Yes, exactly.
Which, and correct me if I'm wrong, but both emphasize the guru-disciple relationship
right.
as essential
yeah.
for spiritual growth.
They see that relationship as absolutely critical.
Right.
The guru isn't just respected, they're revered in these traditions.
And that reverence makes me think of one of the key teachings
okay.
that really stood out to me in the Guru Gita, the concept of the guru as the embodiment of the divine.
Yes.
So it's like we're stepping beyond just respecting a wise person and moving towards something much deeper.
Exactly. It's not just suggesting respecting the guru. It's encouraging seeing them as a manifestation of God's grace and wisdom.
Mm.
So if you imagine that for a disciple, the shift in perspective that that brings,
yeah.
that reverence fosters deep devotion and trust,
right.
which are seen as essential for receiving that spiritual knowledge
right.
and making progress on your spiritual path.
So it's almost like moving beyond your ego and opening yourself up to something bigger than yourself.
Yes.
Which leads perfectly into another major theme.
Right.
In the Guru Gita, the idea of surrender.
Yes, surrender.
Which I imagine in today's day and age
yeah.
is not always an easy thing to do.
It's a challenging concept, definitely.
Yeah.
Surrendering the ego or limited sense of self to the guru. You know, it's
right.
not about becoming a mindless follower.
Right.
It's about recognizing the limitations of our own understanding.
Okay.
And being open to receiving that guidance.
Yeah.
From a source that we trust.
So what are some of the challenges?
Yeah.
And more importantly, you know, the rewards
yeah.
that the Guru Gita associates with surrendering the ego.
Well, the text talks about the ego as this barrier to true knowledge and growth.
Okay.
It creates that sense of separateness that prevents us from really connecting with the divine.
Hmm.
Surrendering the ego is about letting go of that need to control.
Yeah.
And allowing ourselves to be guided by a higher wisdom.
Right.
It can be unsettling at first.
I imagine so, yeah.
But it ultimately leads to liberation and freedom from the limitations of the ego.
It's like a paradox. Surrendering to find true freedom.
It is, it is.
But it makes sense when you think about it.
Right.
It's like our ego creates this illusion of control, which actually traps us.
You got it.
Yeah.
The Guru Gita suggests that true freedom comes from aligning ourselves with the divine will.
Okay.
And that alignment starts with surrendering that ego.
So we've talked about seeing the guru as divine.
Yes.
And surrendering the ego.
Right.
What other significant teachings does the Guru Gita emphasize?
One of the most impactful, I think, is the concept of self-purification. You know, the Guru Gita doesn't just offer these lofty spiritual ideas.
Right.
It provides practical guidance for personal transformation.
Mm.
It's very clear that listening to teachings isn't enough.
Yeah.
Discipleship involves active inner work.
So it's purifying your thoughts.
Yes.
Actions.
Actions.
Intentions.
Exactly.
Almost like refining your character.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
The Guru Gita encourages cultivating virtues like humility, patience, compassion, and self-control.
Right.
It highlights how overcoming negative tendencies within ourselves aligns us with the divine.
It sounds like this continuous process of self-reflection.
It is.
And refinement.
Yeah, it's a journey.
So where does liberation or moksha fit into all of this?
Liberation is seen as that ultimate goal in the Guru Gita.
Yeah.
And it's not something that happens overnight.
Right.
It requires both the guru's grace and the disciple's effort.
So it's not passive.
No.
You're actively working toward it.
It's about integrating that divine knowledge and then actively applying it to your life.
So it's not just receiving wisdom. It's about embodying it.
Exactly.
In your actions and choices.
Yes.
And does the Guru Gita offer any specific practices?
It does.
To help with that integration.
It mentions the power of mantras as a powerful tool for awakening and connecting with the divine.
Mantras, right? Those sacred sounds.
Yeah.
They seem to be woven into so many aspects of Hinduism.
They are.
What's their significance here?
The text highlights the importance of receiving mantras from your guru.
Okay.
And using them as a tool for connection.
So it's not just random sounds.
Not at all.
They're thought to carry specific vibrations.
Yeah.
That can elevate your consciousness.
That's the idea.
It's like the guru is giving you key.
Yeah, a key.
To unlock a higher level of awareness.
Exactly. Think of mantras as a way to focus the mind, purify your thoughts, and deepen your connection to the divine.
Hmm.
The Guru Gita encourages regular chanting as a way to internalize the teachings and really experience a deeper connection with the guru.
So we've been focusing a lot on the guru.
We have.
But I'm also curious about the other side of this.
Yeah.
What does the Guru Gita say about the disciple?
Okay.
And the nature of the guru-disciple relationship?
Well, what's beautiful about the Guru Gita
yeah.
is how it emphasizes how personal, even sacred, that yeah. relationship is.
Right.
It's not just about information transfer.
Yeah.
It's about genuine connection, love, support, and guidance on a profound level.
I love how the text uses that analogy of the guru as a nurturing mother.
Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It really illustrates that the guru provides the care and wisdom needed for spiritual growth,
mm-hmm.
just as a mother nurtures her child. Mm-hmm. It's about creating a space where the disciple feels safe to open up, learn, and transform.
That nurturing environment makes me think about, okay.
Yeah.
So we've talked about a lot of theoretical things.
Yes.
The guru's role as a dispeller of darkness.
Yes.
The importance of surrender.
Right.
Self-purification.
Right.
Mantras.
Uh-huh.
But how do we actually bring all of this into our daily lives?
That's the key question, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the Guru Gita isn't just theoretical.
Right.
It's a practical guide
yeah.
to living a more fulfilling and spiritually aligned life.
Right.
And there are some tangible ways
okay.
that we can apply its teachings to our modern lives.
Great. I'm excited to hear about it.
Yeah.
Let's dive into those.
Let's do it. You know, one of the simplest but most profound practices the Guru Gita highlights is cultivating gratitude.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's something we can all do.
Right.
Regardless of, like, our background or beliefs.
That resonates with me for sure.
Yeah.
And gratitude, it feels like it's often overlooked.
It is.
But it can be such a powerful shift in perspective.
It really can.
So how does the Guru Gita approach gratitude?
It encourages us to, like, recognize and appreciate the teachers, mentors, and guides in our lives.
Okay.
It's acknowledging their contributions to our growth
mm-hmm.
and expressing gratitude for their wisdom and support.
It's a great reminder to shift our focus
yeah.
from what we lack to what we've been blessed with.
Exactly.
So it's not just about a general sense of thankfulness.
Right.
It's specifically recognizing those mm-hmm. who have guided us.
Yeah.
How can our listener apply this?
You know, it could be as simple as reaching out to a teacher who's inspired you.
Right.
Or expressing appreciation to a mentor who's made a difference in your life.
Yeah.
It's about making that gratitude, like, tangible.
Hmm.
Not just a fleeting thought.
Those small acts of acknowledging others.
Yeah.
It can have such a ripple effect.
It really can.
It's a beautiful way to honor the Guru Gita's teachings.
Absolutely.
Now, what other practices does the text recommend for bringing these principles into our lives?
Another powerful practice is embracing devotion.
Okay.
You know, the Guru Gita talks about setting aside time each day to connect with the divine, whether that's through prayer, meditation, or chanting.
It's like creating a space for the sacred. Amidst all the busyness of life.
Absolutely.
Does the Guru Gita offer any specific guidance?
You know, the text emphasizes the importance of consistency. Oh. Even if it's just a few minutes each day.
Right.
It could be a silent meditation practice in the morning or reciting a mantra that resonates with you. The key is to make it a regular part of your routine.
Right.
A way to stay connected to that inner wisdom and the divine presence within.
And that consistency, you know, with our busy schedules.
Yeah, it can be challenging.
Right.
For sure.
But I can see how even just those few minutes.
Yeah.
Can make a big difference.
Absolutely.
Now, alongside devotion, the Guru Gita seems to place importance on cultivating inner guidance too, right?
Absolutely.
So while having an external guru can be incredibly valuable, the text also reminds us that we all have an inner guru.
We do.
Our own intuition and wisdom.
That's right.
Which can be hard to hear in today's world.
It is, with all the external noise.
Right. Are there any practices?
Yeah, the text suggests things like meditation, journaling, and spending time in nature.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it's about creating space for stillness and quiet reflection so that inner wisdom can emerge.
I feel like that's when we can truly hear our own guidance.
It is
in those quiet moments.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I'm curious, alongside devotion and inner reflection, does the Guru Gita talk about self-discipline at all?
It does.
Okay.
The Guru Gita emphasizes that spiritual growth requires effort and consistency. You know, it's about showing up for our practice even when we don't feel like it.
Right.
It's about the commitment to the journey.
Yeah.
Even when it's challenging.
Spiritual growth isn't always blissful and easy.
It's not. No.
It's about the discipline of sticking with it.
Exactly.
Even when it's hard.
Yeah.
So I know our listeners probably wondering.
Okay.
Okay. So how do I take all of this and use it?
Right.
What are some specific examples?
Well, one simple yet powerful practice is starting your day with a verse from the Guru Gita.
Yeah.
Choose a verse that speaks to you and just take a few moments to contemplate its meaning.
Almost like a morning reflection.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Ask yourself, how does this apply to my life today?
Right.
How can I embody this wisdom throughout the day?
I love that.
It's a beautiful way to bring those teachings into your lived experience.
It's like carrying a piece of the Guru Gita with you.
Yeah.
Throughout the day.
Exactly.
What other practical applications come to mind?
The Guru Gita also emphasizes mantra meditation.
Right.
Choosing a mantra that resonates with you and using it as a focal point during your meditation.
Mm.
It can really help quiet the mind and create that sense of inner peace.
It's like an anchor.
It is.
Bringing you back.
Right back to the present moment.
Right.
Exactly.
Now, earlier we talked about self-purification.
Yes.
How does that translate into practical actions?
Well, the Guru Gita highlights the importance of seva, selfless service.
Mm.
It suggests that serving others is a way to express our devotion and connect with the divine.
So it's taking that focus off of ourselves.
Yes.
And recognizing we're all connected.
Exactly. It's about putting those spiritual principles into action.
What would be some ways our listener could incorporate seva into their life?
It doesn't have to be these grand gestures. It could be volunteering your time or helping someone in need or even just being more mindful of how you interact with others.
Right.
The key is to act with compassion and without expecting anything in return.
It feels so relevant to the world today.
It does.
You know, it's a reminder that our spiritual practice isn't just what we do on the meditation cushion.
Right.
It's how we interact with the world around us.
Exactly.
So speaking of our world today, before we wrap up, I want to touch on the relevance of the Guru Gita.
Okay.
Why should our listener care about this text?
It's a great question.
Yeah.
You know, in a world that's so fast-paced and chaotic and driven by the ego, the Guru Gita's message of surrender, devotion, and inner peace feels incredibly relevant.
I agree.
You know, its teachings provide a path to cultivate inner stillness and resilience and connection to something larger than ourselves.
Yeah.
These are qualities I think that many of us are seeking in our modern lives.
It's like an antidote to all the noise and distractions.
It is. It is.
And in a society that prioritizes,
yeah,
you know, individual achievement and material success,
yeah,
the Guru Gita's emphasis on surrender and devotion
right.
is pretty powerful.
It's a countercultural message.
It is.
You know, it challenges us to look beyond the ego
yeah.
and connect with that divine presence within and
right.
all around us.
Right.
And that message is just as potent today as it was centuries ago.
Yeah, it really is a powerful message.
Yeah.
You know, in a way, it's like the Guru Gita provides this timeless roadmap for us for navigating life's challenges,
yeah.
you know?
Right, with grace and wisdom.
With grace, wisdom, and a sense of inner peace. Yeah, we've covered so much.
We have.
You know, from the profound role of the guru
yeah.
to those practical steps,
yeah.
you know, for incorporating the teachings into our lives.
Right.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into the Guru Gita,
yeah.
is there one key takeaway
okay.
that you'd want our listener to walk away with?
I think if we connect all of this to the bigger picture,
okay.
what's really remarkable is that the Guru Gita reminds us
yeah.
that each of us carries that divine spark within.
Mm.
You know, it's not just about worshiping an external deity.
Right.
It's about recognizing that inherent divinity
yeah.
within ourselves and in everyone we encounter.
It's about remembering that wisdom
yeah.
and potential that we all possess.
We do.
And that brings to mind that concept of the inner guru.
Exactly. And the text suggests that by nurturing that connection through surrender, devotion, self-purification,
right.
we can access a level of peace and fulfillment that goes beyond those limitations of the ego.
It's not about striving for some distant goal.
Right. Like trying to be perfect. It's not about perfection.
Yeah.
It's about the journey itself.
Right.
The unfolding and remembering who we truly are.
I love that. As we conclude this deep dive.
Okay.
I want to leave our listener with this.
All right.
You know, the Guru Gita suggests that the divine isn't separate from us.
Right.
It resides within each of us.
Within each of us.
So how would connecting with that inner divinity change your life?
Mm.
How would it impact your perspective?
Yeah.
Your relationships, your actions.
Yeah.
Your overall sense of being.
That's a great question.
Something to reflect on.
Yeah.
Say where it leads you.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
On this deep dive into the Guru Gita.
It's been a pleasure.
Until next time, may you find peace and wisdom on your journey.